We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is for informational and educational purposes only. This program does not replace medical diagnosis and treatments prescribed by your personal physician. Please consult your doctor for diagnosis and medical care before beginning or changing any program or idea discussed.
Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here's your host, Terry Sue.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Frame of Mind. This is your host, Terry Sue, and today my guest is Anne Marie Holmes, author of Earth Spirit Living, a book that provides its readers with ways to bring heaven and nature into your home by helping us to reattune with the rhythms of nature. This is the second part of an interview that we had in late March in preparation for Earth Day. There was so much to discuss that I kind of ran out of time. So here we are again for part two. April is the month in which we celebrate Earth Day, and I'll be dedicating at this point the entire month to reflect on ways that we can better live in harmony with nature in order to live happier, healthier lives. Anne Marie Holmes, author and international consultant, presents feng shui principles in a totally new Western way, incorporating depth, psychology, intuition, Native American spirituality, and quantum physics to help people develop an interactive relationship with their physical environment. So welcome, Anne Marie.
Hello, Terry Sue. Great to be back.
Great to have you back. I just kind of want to not fully recap what we did the last time, but just kind of refresh people's memory. You begin the book by talking about the need to learn about our relationship with the earth, and kind of recap that, what you meant by that.
Well, nature and all of life is something that we are not always consciously aware of, but we are constantly translating, that's one way of putting it, or interacting with the atmosphere or nature all around us through our senses, through what we hear, what we see, the birds singing, what we smell. And it is something to be importantly more aware of, because what I have found in my work with feng shui and some other trainings, that the environment really impacts us on all levels, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. So a lot of times folks may think it is themselves that is the problem, but a lot of times it's our interaction with nature that's not clear.
Mm-hmm. And I also know that the last time you, I was telling the audience that in reading the book, you introduced me to a new word I'd never heard before, and I mispronounced it. I butchered it. I said it was geomancy, and it's actually geomancy, correct?
That's correct, right. Oh. It also, though, is said the way you say it sometimes in other countries, so it's more American with it by saying geomancy.
Okay, so could you kind of recap and tell us what that means again?
Well, the actual meaning, it's a Greek source, and it is basically listening to the foresight or the wisdom from the earth. The idea that there are subtle influences that we don't necessarily physically see, but we feel. And geomancy is the art and science of detecting those and paying attention to what they might mean for us as humans.
Okay. And then you went on to emphasize in part three of your book, nature acting according to certain patterns. And so what are some of the ways that we have developed a shift away from those patterns?
Well, We never really realized how much there is what I call a web around the earth, and geomancy and those folks connected with that kind of art and science will call it that, that there are patterns around the earth that we have not paid attention to. Basically, we just haven't learned about them in our Western civilization. And by the way we build our houses, a lot of times I call it we stamp our houses on the land, and we don't always pay attention to those patterns. And they're very practical patterns. Some of it is the way the water flows on your land, mm-hmm. how the trees are cut on your land, what happens electrically. All of that is there's a subtle energy pattern that goes along with this. And if we are not aware of how we do it, it can affect us on all levels.
So that kind of is a total, not a total, but a somewhat shift away from what we think about as patterns as far as the circadian rhythm of night and day and all is concerned. We're now talking about a whole new kind of balance as far as energies are concerned.
Exactly, and especially in my focus, which is how our homes and our living environments are impacted by mm-hmm. these subtle patterns. And many of the elders talk about this time, the indigenous elders, especially the Mayan elders, have mm-hmm. said that the more we develop our sensitivity to these subtle influences, the better we will thrive.
It's right down to looking at the types of trees that are growing and wherever you want to, say, for instance, build a house or build a housing development for developers. Just looking at the way the land is used naturally will give us some kind of indication about how we should be building on it. I know I've read a couple of articles about animals and animals in your home. And mm-hmm. certain places, if you look at, say, for instance, where a dog decides to rest in your home, that should be the place that you put your bed on the other side. If you look at the way if a cat is sleeping at the foot of your bed, let that cat have that space and move your bed someplace else, because it's the kind of energy that's coming from that cat that doesn't necessarily gel with our systems as humans. I thought that was kind of interesting. And looking at those kinds of patterns as far as daily life is concerned might give us some kind of window of insight as far as placement of buildings, placement of furniture, and all of the energies that you can generate as a result of that.
Exactly. The nature, animals and birds, they instinctively do that. So, yes, our very wonderful dog and cat friends can mm-hmm. tell us a lot. And another thing to pay attention to, especially if you are considering a site or if you're wanting to know how the energy of your site is today, you can go out and ask nature to give you signals. So, for instance, if the birds start singing right when you ask and make that request, mm-hmm. that is a signal from them because they're hearing you. You know, they know. They do really hear. And if they're singing back, that's saying, yes, everything is fine. If for some reason the birds start squawking, there's something perhaps that mm-hmm. isn't quite in balance. So it is listening and hearing the messages that nature gives us, especially our pet birds, our dogs mm-hmm. and cats, will mm-hmm. tell us a lot.
I think that's fascinating because I remember reading that section in your book and it rang a bell with me, and I totally resonated with that because when I moved in the area that I'm in and I spent some time, my first few days in the backyard, and birds were gathering and there were some doves that landed on the back fence and they were making their cooing sounds and whatnot. And I started cooing back, and then a few more of them came and sat on the fence. And I got ribbed a lot about that. My aunt and my mom at the time were ribbing me about that because they said every time you go out there, the doves come and they start talking to you. So I could totally relate to that part of the book because and I know that we had a problem with ducks, as a matter of fact, and I would talk to the ducks, and I would tell them how honored I was that they decided that they wanted to come and spend some time in my backyard. And I started feeding them. Uh-oh. That was a whole different part. I should never have done that because the same couple would come back every year. You know, I saw the mark. I would, you know, pay attention to the markings, and they would come back every year. And
well, this reminds me of a little story that with a bird that happened right after you and I talked last night, because we did talk some about the birds, and I went to work with a client, and I walked on his land, and we were starting to walk around. And this bird lands in a tree very close by, and he goes, "Oh, there's my bird. That's my friend. I haven't seen him in a year." And he made a point of the bird of really showing himself. It was a reacquaintance with his bird friend. He had saved the bird from dying. I think he'd been hurt, and he was able to help him recuperate. So every year, the bird comes back. But I also felt the bird was saying, "Hey, thank you for talking about what we all do." And he stayed there and stayed there. So it's like even though they may not be present on your land, there is a whole collective of this energy web that is being heard. And I felt the bird say, "Yes, get this word out." So it was really sweet.
Yeah. It's really something once you start really paying attention, how much we are connected to nature if we just give it a chance. It's almost time for, that went by so fast. I'm always amazed at things like that, but it's almost time for us to take another break. But when we come back, or a break, when we come back, I want to talk about the use of vibratory energy and how it allows us to communicate with nature. So, you know, that's where I want to pick up when we get back. So this is Terry Sue with my guest, Anne-Marie Holmes, author of Earth Spirit Living, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave and Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
It's time to explore the great shift that is taking place in our world. Every week, be sure to tune in to Walking Terra Christa Radio. Terra Christa means the new earth. Hosts Christine Milleresi and Mike Hayden, also known as Mel and Mike, will guide you across the third dimensional veil to help move you toward a fifth dimensional reality. Through our guests and the wisdom of your hosts, you'll be prepared to make this shift to Walking Terra Christa. Listen Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Welcome back, everyone, as I continue my discussion with Anne-Marie Holmes, author of Earth Spirit Living. So, Anne-Marie, I wanted to talk about the use of vibratory energy and how it allows us to communicate with nature. How do we approach using vibratory energy to communicate with nature?
Yes, well, it is electromagnetic, this energy, and it can be measured. There are instruments that are beginning to measure this, and there is therefore a sense of interaction, first of all, with our nervous system. And it is invisible, these energy currents, because it is, in a way, if I use the metaphor of electricity, it's not something that we see, but we experience it through our lights or through our heating pad when we want to for our body, things like that. We are experiencing this energy. So that is the first level of it. And the nervous system, when this interaction is happening, it can be a sensory heightening. It mm-hmm. can bring you a deep peace and a calm. It's mm-hmm. a connection with a regular rhythm. That's a lot of what we're dealing with right now, because our energy system is changing, things are speeding up, and it's a challenge to really feel a regular rhythm because it keeps changing. So a connection with a power energy or this electromagnetic energy can really help emphasize a rhythm for yourself.
Does technology kind of have put a ding in that, so to speak, as far as interfering with that vibratory energy? With technology and so many other kinds of waves going through the air, so to speak.
There is a lot of that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Does that interfere with the natural energy?
Yes. Well, that's where we need to scurry ourselves or bring ourselves to places in nature that we feel really this deep peace or calm, so that is a concentrated area, and these technological things do not interfere. Mm. It can't break through there because it is stronger than that. Of mm-hmm. course, there are times and places where it can, but that's why nature and sitting outside or going and sitting under your favorite tree or by your favorite water area will really replenish you. And mm-hmm. there are so many, I've just found, even getting ready for our show, there were all these little technology glitches as I was getting ready uh-huh. to come up. So there are a lot of possibilities for interference. Part of that is taking a break and sitting in nature. You'd be surprised, because your nervous system calms down and our nervous systems respond to these glitches in technology. Mm-hmm. So when you mm-hmm. calm yourself down in an interesting way, it will also calm that part too.
Hmm. Okay. Which moves us into the next part that I wanted to, it's actually a good segue, because I wanted to talk about water and trees and fire and stone. And I wanted you to kind of explain the relationships that they have with each other and with our lives. So let's begin with water. Water is very powerful.
This is a very good segue, yes. Water generally really can help with consistency, the ability to flow, to allow yourself to not get bothered, for instance, by some obstacle that we seem to have a lot of these days.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that obstacles are really clearings. They're coming up to point out a place that needs to be a place of flowing and allowing to go around. So water reminds you of that. It's also a place of transition.
Mm-hmm.
It can allow you to really let go and open up to something new. A lot of times people will go to water when you just need to open up to something that you possibly never thought of before. So that's mm-hmm. the main job for water. And it's important to really take time with water and to watch water on your land or where you live in your apartment.
Yeah.
And spend time with rain. You know, on Hawaii, and I'm sure in many indigenous cultures, rain has, I think there are 250 different meanings for rain. And rain here, for the most part, is considered a blessing when it comes. It's like the earth and life really saying, ah, this is a major cleanse.
Yes.
You really are getting it. So water does that for us.
And so sometimes we get a good bath too, don't we?
Yes, we do. It's warm here, but when it happens, but it still is wet. Yes.
Yeah. I remember sharing last time the fact that when I was reading an article again about water and location and where you live and where your furniture is placed and whatnot, and if your bed is faced in the direction where the tide comes in and goes out, then it can work either way on your body. It can either be very draining, or it can be very revitalizing. And I never, my bed actually faces the ocean. I can't see it, but it faces in that direction. And I have had it placed several different ways, east, west, and facing the rising sun, facing the setting sun. And I've kind of looked to see, I really did pay attention to what kind of sleep patterns I had. Mm-hmm. And right now, with it facing the ocean like that, and the in and out, incoming tide and outgoing, it can be at times, if I'm really stressed and I look at the, you know, where the moon is, what phase the moon is in, sometimes if I'm really stressed, that can be very draining and I have to move.
Uh-huh.
And
Yeah.
And
well, it's an interesting idea. One of the facets of the particular way that I work with rooms in a house is from Professor Lin Yun, and his idea, his theories are that the shape and the arrangement in the room will impact you first before mm-hmm. anything on the outside. So it's also interesting to note how, in what relationship you are to the door, because that is like the voice of flow in the house, uh-huh. where that's how the circulation happens. So that could be a component as well.
Okay, because then I have, in that same direction facing the ocean, that's where my door is.
Uh-huh.
So that may be pulling in, you know, maybe unwanted energy or releasing it, or I don't know.
It can, yes, it can just be more energy coming in. It's just something to consider as well, because mm-hmm. the house has also a strong energy that mm-hmm. can impact you.
Mm. Okay, we could go on and on about the water.
Yes, we could.
But let's move on to trees.
Okay.
Let's talk about trees a little bit.
Yes, trees are about grounding and stability, and also they are, of course, the planet's lungs on the Earth, and so this is also where the air really gets purified for us. And when we talked to Professor Lin, who was my teacher for 18 years, he talks about trees as the bones on the property. You know, they are the energy structure for really bringing down this heaven, as my book suggests, heaven and nature coming together comes through the trees, because the cosmic energy comes through the tops of the trees and then goes down into the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a woman at Findhorn, her name is Dorothy McLean, she's still here, and she really had a strong connection with trees and would talk to the tree devas. And when she had a big discussion, she realized the trees had a lot to say. And here's a quote from her talking to a tree deva. Your need for trees must become a part of your consciousness just as much as your need for water. So suggesting that we need especially our old trees, our really strong old trees, because they are the strongest conductors.
Yes.
So having a tree on your property is really, really nice, or a tree that you can get to would be mm-hmm. really, really nice.
You know, I also read somewhere about oak trees and how we shouldn't have, yes, while they're nice to have on our property, we shouldn't always, it shouldn't be too close to the house because it attracts.
Because of the what?
It attracts lightning, electricity.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, so they're beautiful to look at, we need to make sure that the placement of that oak tree or where we build the house, whichever one is first, is placed, because it has a big impact on that.
Yes, yes. Especially the large old trees are better not close to the house. Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
How about fire?
Well, fire was very interesting for me in relationship to how we treat it with a house. When I first started studying with Professor Lin, I was in the Bay Area of California, and this was some years ago in the 80s, but there was a large fire in Berkeley right around San Francisco, and it burnt a lot of houses, and it was a big surprise. And people, of course, were really surprised and went through a lot of change in their lives. Mm-hmm. But we asked him, you know, what do you say about fires? Because this is a disaster. And he said, well, you have to remember, especially for the Native Americans and some of the other indigenous cultures, fire was also seen as a rebirth and a regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
So fire has that quality. Now, for a fire in your house, it is considered a long-term rebirth for you, especially if no one has been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what has the importance here, is looking
yes.
at the fire as a place of regeneration. And I've seen that in many clients, how much their life has changed, especially when they allowed that side of what a fire can mean, that it is a cleansing and a renewal.
Okay. And then stone.
And then stone. So, there's an old saying, especially with the indigenous folks, that says that you sit with a stone and it will give you stories, because they are so ancient. And you can spend time with a stone and really sense a timelessness. I go to a certain spot here on the beach. We all have our certain spots, and I've been sitting on this stone, one stone, for about 5 years, and I do hear information, or I get a sense of the real authenticity of the place or the oldness of the place, and it's very calming, because it's as though generations have been here before me, generations and generations, and I can sense a timelessness, a place where, don't worry, be happy.
That's right. That's right. And when you look at the rock cycle, igneous, sedimentary, metamorphic, and the change that occurs over millions of years, it's pretty telling as far as the age of, not only the age of our planet, but all of the changes that this Earth goes through.
Exactly.
And how quickly our lifespans are in comparison to those changes. So yes, when you pick up a rock and you look for clues to see whether or not, in fact, it is igneous, sedimentary, or metamorphic, you really think about, okay, what? And I know I do, because I have to go through this unit with my students every year on the various rocks and the rock cycles and whatnot. And we sometimes will sit with rocks. We'll sit in a circle and we'll pass them around and we'll look for clues and, you know, look for those intrusions there. And the students, I think time is telling them a story as well. You know, they're not quite sure what that message is as little second graders yet, but they are well aware of the time that it takes in order for that rock to become a rock, especially when you start talking about rocks breaking down into smaller rocks and then, of course, into sand. And that when they really stop to examine and think about all of that, they're in awe. It's like, whoa! And then they want to pass around more rocks, and then they want to go into their science books and look up some clues about what rocks were where. But it's just, yeah, rocks have a lot to tell us, and a lot of them have a lot of moisture in them, actually. And we don't usually think about rocks as having water in them, but you know, some of them do, and there's so much energy that's in them, and depending on what kind of rock it is giving us a lot of energy, and Anyway, I could go off on another tangent on that one. But did you have any more to share about stones, rocks?
Well, along those lines, just mm-hmm. emphasizing that, I'm talking about my own experience right now, but I go and sit on the stone. Mm-hmm. It's a larger stone. And what is interesting to watch is how it interacts with the tides, because there are days when maybe 8 inches are showing, and then, lo and behold, it's a huge rock when the tides have changed. And mm-hmm. to see how the ebb and flow on this rock is not changing its form right now, or, you know, the form changes in a rock over many years. But I can go to that stone and sit on it and feel like, okay, it's going to be okay. Because there is that, especially if you can go to a stone or be with a rock consistently, you really get a relationship with it. And to watch what happens around the rock and get that sense of it. And it's so interesting to hear your, we're going to talk about this question later, but children mm-hmm. are so close to really knowing how much nature interacts, and they are just given the chance. I mean, they wanted to touch those rocks. They wanted to look more in about the rocks. They felt that there was an aliveness to them, or there's, oh, mm-hmm. there's a history here. So it's so great to work with children about this.
It is, to watch their little eyes get big when they find a rock outside and they want to bring it inside. And usually by the end of that unit, I have this huge box of rocks, and we're looking at them, and some of them have made them into their pets, their pet rock, and all of that. And they like to hold on to it, or, you know, use it as a paperweight, and they really get attached to them. So,
yeah.
But anyway, it's time for us to take another short break. So this is Terry Sue with my guest Anne Marie Holmes, author of Earth Spirit Living, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave and Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
To perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Do you ever stop and wonder if there's more to life than what you are experiencing? Do you feel like you deserve to live that life? Of course you should. Tune in to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Sisko. Through Regina's life experiences and her guest experts, you can put yourself on the path to holistic self-discovery and the life that you were born to lead. Shining Bright with Regina Sisko is broadcast live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Be the change. The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Once again, welcome back, everyone, as I continue my discussion on Earth Spirit Living with author Anne Marie Holmes. So, Anne Marie, you were talking about, it's in part seven of your book, you were talking about restoring balance. And you mentioned the big three. And when we're attempting to restore balance in our lives, particularly at home, you said something about the stove, the desk, and the bed being of key importance. Now, I already talked about the bed, but I want to hear your take on that as well. So why were the stove, the desk, and bed of key importance?
The big three, right? Well, Professor Lynn really emphasized this, and I thought it was a good point. Sometimes, because there are so many facets to feng shui, that sometimes if you just focus on three areas, you can make a big imprint and improvement in your life. So we really talked a lot about the kitchen, the desk, and the stove, especially, and the bed. Mm-hmm. And the stove is relating to the body, because this is all about how the environment impacts us. So the stove is where we nourish ourselves. This is where we take in food. We are really paying attention to how well our body is functioning. And the mood of the cook can affect our digestion and our health. So it's really important to make the stove or allow the stove to be one of the power spots in the house or a place that is very inviting because it can affect your body. Mm-hmm. And so there are ways to do that. You can use movement, but asking like using a wind chime and placing it over where the cook stands and asking that wind chime, because the wind is really not going to be moving too much there, but asking the wind chime, a lot of this is intention to really help anchor the cook. And perhaps you've heard of the idea of putting a mirror behind the stove, because that also, mirrors have many functions, and one of them is to make the area feel larger so that the cook is happy. So that's one. The desk is all about the mind and how to really feel as though you can feel focused and have clarity when you are working at your desk. And the desk I'm speaking about is not one perhaps by the front door that's not used a lot or in a second bedroom or just for guests to use occasionally. I'm talking about a desk that some family member uses a lot but spends some time there. And the same ideas are important there, that you really want to have the desk feel spacious. Of course, a desk that has no clutter is the ideal.
Which is I'm just looking around right now at my desk.
Yes. Well, we get mail. Just the mail alone can do it. But it's the idea. It's a way for you to kind of check, too, to go around your house and just kind of check. How is it around my desk? What's going on around my stove? How's my body? How about doing some changes around the desk if there is a sense that clarity is not as good or your focus, your ability to really stay focused on one item is easy and accessible. So working around your desk can be a way to also influence your mind and strengthen your brain. The last one, of course, as we've already talked about a little bit, is the spirit, and that is equated with the bed that we did some discussion already. And so you really want your bed to be in your most favorite place so that you can sleep the best, because that's where we refresh ourselves at night and have dreams, etc. So if I were to point out the first and the main things to pay attention to in your house, they would be those three things to restore the balance. And in my book, I do give solutions and ideas about how that could happen. And sometimes, like Professor Lynn would say, if you can do one or two things in a house, you may not have to do anything else. So that's why I chose these three things, because they can have the biggest impact for you.
Yeah, one thing that comes to mind is someone who lives in, say, an efficiency apartment, and they do have limited space. And then looking at where that, for instance, where the front door is, and it's is the kitchen just as you walk in. It reminds me of one of my first apartments, and the kitchen was right there as soon as you walk in. And so I could have sure used your book at that time, my first couple of apartments, because they were really small. I mean, you walk in, you turn around, and you can you can walk back out. So, so yeah. But in the last parts of your book, you stress the importance of attunement with nature and then harmonizing with one's surroundings, which brings us back to, again, efficient use of space. So what are some essential elements you would like the listeners to be mindful of? So let's say, for instance, with light and sound. Let's start
it's
with
very
those
important
two.
To have good lighting, and especially to pay attention to with your lighting that all the light bulbs are working or that it's efficient. That's important, and that the light is very pleasing. We can get light bulbs now that have so many different colors that can also affect your mood, and there are so many interesting lighting applications. And so light is very important, and also, of course, to have light enough windows in your house to just bring in natural light, because mm-hmm. that can affect your mood. We know we do hear about SAD, that the different quality that of how the nature, how the winter weather can affect our moods.
Mm-hmm.
So light is very important, and of course you can do that by placing a light in a corner that it can reflect and come out better and bounce off the walls with a certain color. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is another important part, is having colors that can really bring in a diversity for you. The more diversity sometimes that we have with soothing colors that we like, it can strengthen the brain because it is helping the eye move around the room, and it can help, therefore, energize and bring in more diversity and more opportunity for people with their color arrangement. I find another one that's really important is texture. Texture in a space as well is very grounding, and it also is another way that your brain can interact with your environment. Something that is also the fabrics that you choose on your couches, or probably even easier, is the fabrics you can use on your pillows. A lot of times having fabrics that are satiny, that are reflective of the light, and then also having pillows that have texture are a good way to bring in that contrast so that your body can balance easier. Contrast sometimes is really an important part of it.
Which brings me to a question. So you think that we should kind of have a variety of textures in our homes depending on what we put that texture on and how we use it? Say, for instance, pillows in the living room may not necessarily have the same textures as pillows in the bedroom.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. The ones in the bedroom might be softer because that is a place where we rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a personal choice. That's also very important to, you have to really love it, you know. Mm-hmm. I know when I've worked with different clients, sometimes texture was not something they really were thinking was something they wanted, but I would bring in a sample and they would go, oh, that's what you mean by texture. And it was very soothing. They thought it might be too stimulating in an interesting way.
Yes.
But it was the opposite, because it was a contrast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about sound?
Sound is very important as well. Beautiful sound. As we're talking today, the birds are singing all around the house.
That's a good
last
sign.
Last time we talked, we had a rooster.
Yes.
So that's nature. But having beautiful music in the background is very good for you, or music that you just love. I mean, sometimes it may be just something that gets you up and dancing, and that can be fine too. But sound, pleasant sound, for instance, in a beautiful wind chime. I just worked with a client who has wind chimes on every side of his house, and he moves them around whenever he feels there's an imbalance. And when I drove up to the house, they all started chiming, and they're big. They're those mm-hmm. big, beautiful ones.
Yes.
And it just takes you into another whole space. There was just a sense of calm and like, oh, this will be a graceful house to go to. Mm-hmm. So sound can do that for you.
It does definitely set the tone. How do you feel about the use of fragrance in the home? I know we have to be careful about how we mix those fragrances within the confines of our home from room to room, even, because some of them, depending on what you're using them for, might conflict with each other. How do you mm-hmm. feel about that?
Yes, you have to be careful, because if you mix them too much, it can be aggravating to the mm-hmm. body. And you might even get a rash of some sort. People are much more sensitive to fragrances. I know when you walk into a health food store, sometimes the fragrances can be diverting or irritating to some people. Mm-hmm. The natural ones are the easiest to be around, and it is important not to mix and match too much. But again, it has a lot to do with what you like and what your body can really absorb. And, of course, if you can bring in sometimes fresh flowers that have uh-huh. a beautiful aroma, that can be wonderful, too. The ginger is blooming here right now, mm. and so we bring in these wonderful ginger flowers, and yeah. you can just, I walk in the house, and it's pervading in the house, and there's just a really wonderful, welcoming feeling. So natural flowers can be easier on the body as well.
I heard someone say that if you're having, say, for instance, if you're in the habit of burning candles at the dinner table, you should not use scented candles simply because it takes away from, you know, the aromas of the foods that you're serving, and you want people to be mindful of that, and it might interfere with enjoying the meal. So unscented candles at the dinner table was suggested.
Uh-huh. Well, that can work. It could be, from a body standpoint, it might be easier on the body to be able to have the aroma of the food as mm-hmm. as we are eating. Therefore, it allows that wonderful interactive, especially if you're at a table with guests, et cetera, mm-hmm. that whole interactive social part is more focused around the idea of eating and what happens when we are sharing a meal socially. Mm-hmm. And with a scented candle, that reminds one more of a living room or a sanctuary or a retreat mm-hmm. space. So it has a different memory, though,
it does.
In an interesting way. So I think that's an interesting point, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what about life force? Life force.
Life force would be bringing in plants. And, of course, since this book is emphasizing the role of nature, green plants in the house are a really good way, especially if your immune system is a little bit weaker, or if you also just really want to strengthen a corner of a life or a part of a room that doesn't feel quite right. You know, we all have the areas in our house that some feel better than others are not quite as strong and vibrant as we'd like. And an easy solution is simply bringing in a plant or a bouquet of flowers and mm-hmm. and bringing those in. The life force can awaken a spot very easily. And it is also a part of nature that we are bringing in. You know, so much we're emphasizing on the role of nature. A lot of times when we're in an urban environment, having a plant can make all the difference. And that's why the life force gets easily generated that way.
Yeah.
Many cures, as we talk about in feng shui, are using, you know, we're talking this as a medicinal cure for your house and for you. A plant can be a major cure for that. And fish are another living object, but a living being that comes into your house. Fish are considered very good for taking a stagnant or a place that is kind of slow feeling to you or asleep. And the fish can come in and just with their very gentle movements help that place be generating. And it's especially good sometimes to place fish in a study, in a room where there's, for students perhaps, or someone who needs to concentrate a lot. The fish can help generate and help move the brain. It's also has a different effect, too. We see them a lot in doctor's offices.
Yes.
What they can also do is change the energy in a room just by moving, so that with all the different patients coming in and out, it keeps creating a neutral space, and the life force can do that, too.
Yeah. You know, we're running out of time, and so I did want to make sure that I get this question in.
Mm.
So if you have about a minute, we have about a minute.
Okay.
Do you think that we will, as citizens of this planet, become more and more sensitive to the need for more sustainable measures to be taken?
Yes, I really feel we will. There are more and more folks like myself. Here you are devoting a whole month on this. I feel there's more and more attention, and there are more and more people, Al Gore, more and more people in positions that really get a lot of time with the public. I definitely feel good about it. We are needing a lot of waking up still, but this time is different. I feel that we are all coming together to wake up.
And then I can get one more in, I think.
Okay.
What can we teach our children about living in harmony with nature?
Oh, boy. that what they feel and what they know is very important, and to sit out in the garden and take time and grow a garden would be wonderful.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Okay, well, it's just been a pleasure, and I would like to once again thank my guest, Anne Marie Holmes, for sharing her insight and suggestions for living a more balanced life and becoming more mindful of the rhythms of nature. So if our listeners would like to find out more, Anne Marie, how can you be reached?
Yes, I have a website, and thank you very much. My website is Anne Marie Holmes, that's AnnMarieHolmes.com. And there's lots of information there. I also wrote this book, as you have mentioned, Earth Spirit Living, Bringing Heaven and Nature into Your Home. And that is available on Amazon, and I also have copies. And you can see a lot about my work on the website. I do consult internationally. I am giving retreats here on Hawaii, working with nature and also helping energize ways to attune with nature and how it impacts you in your life. So those are the main ways. My phone number is on my website if anybody wants, and my email if anybody wants to make a contact.
All right. And I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning in to Frame of Mind today. I hope that you've enjoyed our time together. And if you know someone who could be helped or served by this knowledge, please share it with them. In the meantime, live in peace and love, everyone, and enjoy your day. Bye.
That you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on Seventh Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths. Live and think healthier this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.